Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, with Pastor Lance Wise. I want to take just a moment and invite you to attend one of our services in person. We gather Sundays at 10:30, and all are welcome. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, havenheightsbaptist.org, or see us on Facebook. How did the wedding go? To my surprise, he said, it didn't happen. And I asked the natural question, I asked, well, what do you mean the wedding didn't happen? And he said, during the wedding ceremony, when it came time for her to say, I do, she wouldn't say it. Now, I'm sure that's happened more than once, but that was the first time I've ever heard anything like that. He told me the bride walked down the aisle, and he was up front waiting for her. And then the groom made his vows, and he said, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, from this day forward, to have and to hold, he said, I do. He made his vows. But when she was asked to do the same, she was silent. And there was no marriage. Now, even though they had dated, and even though they had gotten engaged, and even though they planned the wedding together, and even though they both showed up to the wedding, and even though he had made his vows to her, because she did not respond in kind, there was no marriage. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and until Exodus chapter 24, everything has been one-sided. God came to them. God pursued them. God rescued them. God sustained them. God has said, I will be your God. And now the people must respond to God. That's our text this morning. The people of God must respond to God in kind for the covenant to be enacted. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. We will read it in its entirety. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance. But Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelites men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as a fellowship offering to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here. And I will give you tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Our text this morning is the covenant. As we heard during the children's lesson, a covenant is a promise between two parties. Each party makes a promise to the other. Now, God has already made his promise to his people. He told them, Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God. He says, I am your God. That's his promise to them. I am for you. And this is why God rescued them. God sustained them. God fought for them. God did all these things because he is not only the Lord, he is their God. God has made his promise. And yet for the covenant to be enacted, they must respond to him. They must confirm the covenant, and they must consummate the covenant. So if you're taking notes this morning, those two very simple ideas will guide our time. Number one, they confirm the covenant. And then number two, they consummate the covenant. So first, they confirm the covenant. They confirm the covenant through four very distinct practices. So in this text, these four distinct practices, there's a call to worship. There is a reading of God's word. There is a commitment to obedience. And there is a sharing of a family meal. Verse 1, the Lord says to Moses, come up to the Lord. It's a call to worship. God says to them, come. Come and worship. But then notice in verse 2, only Moses is permitted to approach God. Moses is allowed to come near God, but the others must stand back. And the others must stand back because Moses is the go-between. Moses is the go-between between God and man. It's Moses who receives the word, and then it's Moses who passes the word on to the people. It's Moses' job to hear from God and then to tell the people what God has said. Moses relays the word of God to the people, and they say, verse 3, we will do it. Now, when we're reading through the text, we don't know what it is they promised to obey and to do, but then we see in verse 4, Moses rises early, and with the help of young men, they offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. And they offer these sacrifices because they had sinned. Four chapters ago, God has given them the Ten Commandments, and already they've broken many of them. And God has said, your sins deserve death, and yet God also said another can die in your place. And so with the sacrifice of the animals, their sins are forgiven. And Moses takes the blood, verse 7, the blood of the animals, and he splashes it against the altar. And it's worship. They are thanking God that he provided a substitute for their sins. And then Moses begins, verse 7, to read from the law. And the people, they hear the word of God. And they commit to obedience. And they say, verse 7, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. And as they are promising to obey the law, Moses is sprinkling the blood of the sacrifice upon them. And we can be honest, that is downright gross. That Moses has the blood of the animal and he is just flinging it upon the people. It's repulsive, but it's also real. It's one thing to know that their sins require the blood of a sacrifice, and it's another to have the blood of the sacrifice upon them. And so that's the covenant. God has told them of his holiness, but they sinned. And God said, I will provide you a substitute. And God applied the substitute on their behalf. And now they must respond in faith and repentance. God has done all of that for them. He's offered everything that they need for forgiveness. And all they must do is to commit to follow his ways in faith and in repentance. And then the elders of the Lord come into the presence of God. Verse 11, we see they ate and they drank. And they ate and they drank with God and with one another. And notice that this is a covenant not only between them and God, but also between them and one another. In the covenant, God becomes their father and they become brother and sister. The meal symbolizes we are now family. They confirm the covenant, a call to worship, a reading of God's word, a commitment to obedience, and then a family meal. And with all of that in mind, let me ask a simple question. Why did you come this morning? No doubt some of us have a drug problem. We were drug here this morning. Some of us came out of obedience. Others of us, of course, wanted to come, wanted to be encouraged, wanted to see friends. There's no shortages of reasons why any of us came this morning. And yet, if asked, I bet very few people would say, I came this morning to confirm the covenant Christ has made with his people. And by the way, that's exactly what we're doing this day. And that's what we do every time we gather as his people. We gather to confirm the covenant God has made with his people. Some 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus came to us, and he lived the perfect life among us. He was made like his brothers in every way, and yet was without sin. There was no deceit found in his mouth, and God the Father said of his own Son, with him I am well pleased. And we, however, are like sheep who've gone astray. Worse still, the very enemies of God. And although Jesus was sinless, he died for our sins. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might become the righteousness of God. And by the blood of Christ, we can be forgiven and cleansed. And then on the third day, Jesus was raised to life. And then he rose into heaven above, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, upholding the universe by the word of his power and interceding for his own. And this Jesus who has pursued us, rescued us, redeemed us, now sustains us. That's the covenant. Christ has done all of this for us. And he asks that we respond. And every Sunday morning, we gather to confirm this very covenant God has made. And if you're paying attention, you will notice that our service is structured around these very same ideas. There is a call to worship. There is a reading of God's word. There is a commitment to obedience. And there is a sharing of a family meal. Our God calls us into worship. And every week we put a call to worship in the bulletin. And every week printed in the bulletin are his words of what he has done for us. And then Moses sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the people because no one can come near to God without the shedding of blood. And we remember this day and every Sunday that we draw near to God only through the blood of the Lamb. And because of the blood of the Lamb, we worship God the Father. And then we read Scripture. And we read of what God has promised. And we read of what he expects from his people. And so we listen to a sermon. And every sermon is simply an explanation of what God has said. And we study the Bible together so that we can truly consider all that God has to say to us. And then we apply the Bible to our lives so that we can respond in loving obedience. And then from time to time, we have a meal. And the meal I'm talking about is the Lord's Supper. The memorial meal, where we remember what Christ has done for us. And we tear the bread with our teeth, just as his body was torn and broken for us. And we pour the fruit of the vine into our mouth as a reminder. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of many. And we remember together that we have no access to God the Father were it not for the shedding of Christ's blood. And we sometimes call that memorial meal communion because we remember in the covenant, God is our Father, and we are now therefore brother and sister. Church, we gather week in and week out to confirm the covenant. We confirm the covenant with our lips, and we confirm the covenant with our lives, because if the covenant is not confirmed, then the covenant is not a promise, but only a possibility. Did you catch that? If we do not confirm the covenant, it is not a promise, but remains a possibility. And just like a bride up front on her wedding day, God's people must respond, I do and I will, or the covenant is not enacted. Second, they consummated the covenant. Again, we go to the illustration of a wedding. And the goal of a wedding is never the wedding itself. The goal of a wedding is marriage. And even more specifically, the goal of a wedding is to have and to hold. The goal of a wedding is consummation. And in the same way, the goal of the covenant in Exodus chapter 24 is consummation. It's to behold God and to be held by God. Look at verse 9. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Now, this is totally new. They've heard of God, but now for the first time they see God. For the first time they truly behold God. It's a big deal to see God. It's a big deal to see God because it's overwhelming. And it's a big deal because seeing God was supposed to be fatal. Repeatedly throughout the Old Testament, God says, no one can see me and live. And yet the text could not be more clear. They saw God, and the text actually tells us they saw God not once, but twice. Verse 10 and 11. They see God, and so the text tells us, and yet they were okay. Verse 11, they're unharmed. God didn't raise his hand against them. And so we ask the question, well, how are they able to see God and live? The Bible couldn't be more clear. God says, you cannot look upon me and live. And the Bible could not be more clear, tells us twice, they actually saw him. We ask the question, how are they able to see God if God said this can't happen? They saw God for one reason and one reason only. They were covered in the blood of the Lamb. And it still works this way. No one can come to God the Father except through the blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. And unless we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, no one can see God and live. The leaders of Israel see God, and yet notice what's recorded of their experience. Verse 10, they say, we saw his feet. Well, sort of. We were under him. And what they really talk about, verse 10, is the pavement beneath his feet. And they even describe the pavement. They say the pavement is like lapis lazuli, and it's bright and blue as the sky. They see God, and yet they don't describe God. They're under his feet, and they don't even describe his feet. They describe the pavement. And without a doubt, it's because they're laying prostrate on the ground. And without a doubt, as they are laying on the ground underneath God, they barely lift their eyes from the pavement. Because you see, they know this God is holy. They were there when God descended on the mountain, and they smelt the fire, and they saw the lightning, and they heard the thunder, and they felt the mountain shake, and they know that although God has invited them in, this God is still holy. They know that just because I'm invited, I dare not take him lightly. And that's what makes verse 11 so incredibly shocking. The God who is transcendent, the God who is high and lifted up, this is the God who, verse 11, ate and drank with them. He ate and drank with them. Every Sunday afternoon, my mom and my dad have the entire family over to their house for lunch. And after church, my brothers come and their kids come. And we all gather together for a meal. And when we eat, there is no rush. We eat and then we talk and our kids play together. And then we eat a little more, we have dessert. And then our kids play a little bit more and we talk a little bit more. It's lunch, it's a meal. But it's more than food. It's fellowship. That's verse 11. It's more than food. It's fellowship with the divine. Verse 11 is the consummation of the covenant, the goal of the covenant. Verse 11 is fellowship with the divine. And so, yes, God is holy. And yes, we dare not ever take him lightly. And yet also, yes, this God longs to be in fellowship with us. He longs to know us as friend. And so this morning we ask, do you know God like that? Do you have fellowship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you talk with God? Do you listen to what God says and do you promise obedience? Do you know God? Not only as somewhere out there, but do you know him also as friend? The God who is not only high and lifted up, but the God who is drawn near. The God who not only knows us, but the God who longs to be known by us. Jesus has come to us, and he died for our sins. And this morning we have opportunity to confirm, I am yours. And all I want is to know you more. And notice what God says to Moses, verse 12. God tells Moses, come up to my mountain and stay here. God tells Moses, come into my glory and linger. Glory means majesty, or goodness, or wonder, or awe. Glory is all that God is and all that God does. And Moses is given the opportunity to know God not only more, but to know God in his entirety. And what Moses is given is a foretaste of heaven. You see, heaven is the place where all those who are covered in the blood of the Lamb are invited into the glory of God, to know God in his entirety, and to know him for all eternity. Now this morning, I want to address the skeptic. Undoubtedly, there's someone listening who's saying to themselves, well, you know, if God were simply to reveal himself to me like that, like he did to them, then I would confirm all of this. But I haven't seen God. I haven't seen God like they did. And you know what they say, seeing is believing. And if I would only see, then I would believe. And yet, notice the order of the text. They heard God first. God's word was read to them, verse 7. And then, verse 7, they committed themselves to God. And then and only then comes verse 10 and 11. Only after they heard the word of God, and only after they committed themselves to God, did they actually see God. That's the order. Hear God, commit to God, and then one day see God. Don't miss that. The only way to see God tomorrow is to commit to God today. And for those who commit to God, there is coming a tomorrow where we will not merely see his feet, but his face. And behold his face, not for a moment, but for all time. We end with this. Look at verse 12. Moses is given two tablets. God tells Moses, I'm going to give you two tablets of the covenant. Two tablets of my promises and laws, promises. I am your God, promises. This is what I've done for you. I've rescued you. I've redeemed you. I am for you. And then law. This is how you are to respond to me. Because I've done all these things, this is how you are to live. And God gives Moses not one tablet, but two tablets. And two tablets, not because he couldn't find a piece of stone large enough to fit all the words, but rather two tablets because they're copies of one another. Two tablets. One tablet for God, and one tablet for his people. One record for him, and one record for them. And in the same way, there are still two tablets. God has his record right here. And we read from his copy every week. And every week we read of God's promises. And every week we read of God's law. And every week we are reminded this is who God is. And this is what God has done for us. And every week we are reminded this is how we are to respond to him. That's copy number one. And copy number two is written on the heart. God says in several places, I will write my laws on their heart. And his law is written on our heart if we believe the promise. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And his law is written on our heart if we confirm the covenant. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. And if those things are true of us, if we have confirmed the covenant, then know today his covenant is written on your heart. If you believe, and if you respond to him in faith and repentance, his covenant is written right here as assurance of the consummation yet to be revealed. And when that is written on our heart, we can have full assurance that the consummation is coming. The day in which we will see God and behold him face to face.
You've been listening to the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church with Pastor Lance Wise. If you're looking for a church home, consider joining us on Sundays at 10:30 for worship, Sunday school at 9:30. For more information, find us at havenheightsbaptist.org or see us on Facebook.